Welcome back. This is Up North News. You can get our daily newsletter by signing up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And you can send us an email by sending that note to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can always listen to us live on the TuneIn app or tunein.com. Just look for WXCO and Bull Falls Radio, our flagship station in Wausau. Carolyn Fiddler joins us now from Courier Newsroom, a parent group to Up North News. She was at the Netroots Nation conference in Pittsburgh. We spoke when she was there at the very start of it, so we thought we would get a wrap up on activities right now. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm great. Finally starting to catch up on sleep. Thanks for having me. And nice to be doing this from my own place as opposed to a hotel room.
Yes, that always works a little better. Hotels can have rather sketchy Wi-Fi, as I've had to discover. When I used to come down to Madison regularly, I, you know, tried the, you know, the hotel, like I said, the hotel net, some are good, some are not. And then I compared it to the shared office space that I used, which was, I think it was like 300 megabytes per second. It was just amazing compared to like, at, you know, a lot of home internet is, you know, 100 and a lot of the hotels it's 12, you know, or some ridiculous number where you could carry the information faster and much less, you know, do any kind of a podcast or a radio show. So yeah, it's always good to be home afterwards, but had to feel, like you said, and I got this sense at the state Democratic convention in La Crosse a few weeks back, this ability to gather again in person, you've been immunized, you've been boosted, you've taken your precautions, and you finally
still get testing every day. So far, so good.
Good. See? Wow. I am big gold star on that sense of responsibility over there. Good for you. But you enjoyed, again, getting people together. And how did the tone at all change? You know, I asked, you know, in the beginning, if everybody was a bunch of gloomy gusses, the inevitability of a Republican midterm, blah, blah, blah. And you said no, that things were rather upbeat. Did they stay that way? Did they get better as people learned more? Did it get worse? What did you think of the tone?
It remained fairly upbeat. That's an excellent question. Definitely remained fairly upbeat. But also, like, with the overall conference had a sense of sort of gravity and responsibility. Like, we're all upbeat, but we also know that this year electorally is going to be a slog, and we know we have a lot of work to do. It was nice to reconnect after those 2 years apart doing Netroots virtually, and there was just a lot of joy in seeing people. But yeah, we all know that, like, things are bad. We have a lot of work to do. So there was definitely a sense of that at the conference too.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I can imagine. Now, again, in the whole note of having to temper expectations, you had results in several New York congressional districts yesterday, and there've been special elections in other states and primaries. And there are, for Democrats and progressives, some pretty hopeful signs. And in one note, the four U.S. House special elections that have been held since the Dobbs decision in June repealing Roe v. Wade, in all four of them, Democrats have outperformed how Biden or Trump did, depending on the district, in 2020. On the other hand, those are small turnout elections. So have I properly couched the optimism there, Carolyn?
You have. And that's a great way to characterize specials. They can present some tea leaves, but, you know, tea leaves don't vote. So it's nice to kind of have an indication of the prevailing winds, but also winds don't cast ballots. So it's nice to know that things aren't stacked up quite as steeply against Democrats as it felt like they were a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And it's awful, obviously, that the Dobbs decision is the catalyst of it, because, you know, people like me lost a lot of our rights that day. Right. And that sucked. But yeah, these are positive indicators, generally speaking. But there's still, you know, political eons between now and election day.
Yeah, a lot can happen, and can happen both ways. And I say that, again, trying to hold up any sense of optimism whatsoever for Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district, which Ron Kind is retiring from after 26 years. And he narrowly held onto his seat 2 years ago from Republican Derek Van Orden, who then attended the insurrection on January 6th. And now, according to an internal poll that was released yesterday, is up by 13, 50 to 37 over State Senator Brad Paff. Now, that 13-point margin also comes along with 13% who are undecided and haven't picked somebody yet. But this is a Trump took this district with its new lines by 5 points last time. So it's still an uphill slog. Carolyn, is it impossible?
It's not impossible, but it's absolutely a long shot. The district did change. It got worse for Democrats. And as you mentioned, like, it was a tough hold a couple of years ago when the lines were slightly more friendly. So, you know, maybe this is one of the ones the Democrats can't count on in the fall. But again, long time, a lot of space between now and then. So I wouldn't write anything off at this point.
Well, and again, in part, it's the messaging. So here's what I'm getting at. Here are the breadcrumbs that I've left you. We we have some races and districts since the Dobbs decision that have gone well, where Dems have, you know, overperformed, and there are certainly signs that that could continue if there is still if the messaging about the threat to women's reproductive health rights and other threats beyond that is the message. Now, a lot of people would say in a rural district like Western Wisconsin, you don't want to talk about abortion. You don't want to talk about these hot button things because you're trying to appeal to a purple district. But there's it seems to me a rising chorus of people that say, stop being wimpy on this and go for it. I know you're not there in the district, but, you know, what from your outside perspective, should PATH and progressives go harder on an abortion rights message, or is that apples to oranges comparing to districts in New York and elsewhere?
It's not apples and oranges. Yes, they're very different creatures, those districts, in very far flung places from each other. But I grew up in a really, really small town in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. And the conservatively, I mean, politically, it's a conservative district, but I think a lot of rural areas have something in common, and that is a love of privacy and the right to be left alone and to do what you want to do and to exercise your own rights and not hurt anyone else. I think that I know from witnessing, say, let's go back to 2010, a eon ago, when Democrats tried to run as Republican light in a terrible year for Democrats, and it did not work out. Democrats who ran as who and what they were, what they really were, very open about what they stood for, they did better. Did they still lose? In a lot of cases they did, but they didn't lose nearly as badly as folks who try to, like, you know, scoot to the middle, dance to the middle. Sorry, that's a very old SNL joke. So lean hard into what folks believe in. That's voters know when politicians are being authentic or not. And there's nothing that voters have less patience for than an inauthentic politician.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the Wisconsin 3rd District races, one of course, many, many, many that will come this November. And we can't possibly touch on all of them, but there are a couple that, again, because you watch these things from a national perspective, I want to pick your brain about. And I'm going to start with Florida, where there's both a governor's race and a U.S. Senate race, and their primary was yesterday. And we now know that Ron DeSantis will be challenged by a former Democratic governor, Charlie Crist. And we know that Marco Rubio is going to be challenged by Val Demings, which in both cases, I think, are formidable opponents. But Democrats have had almost no luck in statewide elections in Florida. It is truly Charlie Brown, you know, trying to kick the football. So, Carolyn, is this the year Charlie Brown kicks the football in Florida? Oh,
that's an excellent question. I do think that the most formidable opponents came out of these primaries. I think both will give the Republicans in those races a real run for their money. DeSantis especially has worked really hard to make voting harder for people who don't want to vote for him. And I think that in a closer election, that's going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Recent attempts to expand the franchise have been rolled back by Republicans in the state. Like, they're very dedicated down there to keeping folks who might vote Democratic from voting. It's not undoable, but it's absolutely going to be uphill in Florida.
And again, it is that you're always looking for those nice surprises, which we did see lately. And again, it's Wednesday now. So what does that make it? 76 days, I think, till the election.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of time. So let's get to the Netroots conference itself with Carolyn Fidler, our guest from Courier Newsroom. As I was looking at some of the notes about, you know, some of the speakers. And I note this one from Alexa Moormeyer of the Cascadia Advocate, who wrote about a speaker, Mondale Robinson, who challenged voters to rethink what is possible and recognize the foundation that has been laid by grassroots organizations. The U.S., he said, has never had an electorate as diverse or young as we do now. Young voters asserted themselves in 2018 and 2020 with some big progressive gains. Mondale Robinson said, we must forget and unlearn all the BS we know about midterm elections and stop buying into the media's repeated emphasis about the destiny of a Republican race. That in and of itself is like buying into a conspiracy. Based on everything we just said, that still sounds rather wishful thinking. Again, not impossible, but it is always such a tough haul to get young voters mobilized, especially in a midterm. How would that be different this year? What would grassroots organizations, what can you do to actually make that difference this year in getting more young people to vote? Or is it going to happen organically just because of the Dobbs decision?
I think there will be a little bit of organic work, but I don't see his comments as wishful thinking. I see them more as a call to action. The prevailing narrative is, and always is in midterms, that, you know, young people don't vote, the electorate shrinks, yada, yada, yada. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, if folks actually get out and are on doors and motivate folks, tell people what the stakes are and motivate them to get out and vote, like, magic can happen. It's certainly not all said and done yet. A big difference between this year and 2020, especially, is the fact that people will be more comfortable being back on doors. 2020 had a real sort of gap in terms of like actual field work on the progressive side because of the pandemic. That game is going to be drastically changed this year, and I think it'll pay off.
I agree. I think that young people being active, I was trying to frame this as, if somebody comes to your door, it's one thing if they're, you know, the candidate, which is all fine and good. But it's another thing, I think, if young adults are coming to those doors and essentially, you know, they're rather plaintive. They're saying, look, we really need this. We're the next generation. And sure, they'll get a few, you know, old codgers slamming the door in their face. But I think young people's presence getting more active in this can indeed make a difference.
Agreed. 100%.
Well, this is what that we're going to talk about on the other side of the break here, is more about what are the messages that can work in a midterm election when people, again, they don't turn out as big because it's not a presidential year, even though the stakes are so high. And whether the things that we used to consider inside baseball are now fair game. I mean, we used to be told all the time, don't talk about, you know, redistricting. Nobody cares about that. That's a process matter, et cetera, et cetera. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Carolyn Fiddler more about what she's hearing, or what she heard rather, at Netroots Nation, and what kinds of things are going to work well mobilizing voters this fall. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back. When you're gone.